That really grinds
Yeah.
on me because those are not sourdough. Basically, what they've done is taken one of these loaves, these highly processed loaves that we're talking about, and then just stuck a sourdough culture in it and then gone, that's sourdough. And I think that's really confusing for people going into the supermarket because they think, oh, well, that's a better bread. So I'm going to buy that one. Or even things like the seeded loaves or the whole grain loaves, that's just got dye in
Yeah.
it. Like, it's so much bullshit around bread.
Welcome to the Wellness Breakdown, where we examine the latest health trends and we discuss how lifestyle and nutrition can truly change the way you live.
I'm Eve Kalinick. I'm a nutritional therapist, author, and consultant.
And I'm Rose Ferguson. I'm a functional medicine practitioner and also an author.
Yeah, we haven't always been in this game. Rose spent most of her youth on international catwalks as one of the most iconic 90s supermodels.
Sure about that, but Eve had a very hectic career as a fashion PR, so we've definitely been there, we've done it, and there is no room here to preach.
Yeah, this isn't one of those waggy finger should do podcasts. We're here to dig into some of the wellness trends, figure out whether some of this stuff is just nonsense, and give our personal and professional opinions on some of it.
It amazes me that the global wellness industry is now worth over $5 trillion. So before you go out spending your hard-earned cash on the latest new thing, make sure you listen to the Wellness Breakdown first. The Wellness Breakdown is sponsored by Ancient and Brave, a mission-driven wellness brand with an award-winning range of collagen, MCT oil, and nootropic blends. From supporting menopausal symptoms to supercharging your energy, Ancient and Brave's products are pure, potent, and easy to make part of your daily, morning, or wellness ritual.
Personally, I find the True Collagen really easy to take, and I normally add it into my morning coffee, which is a habit that I already have ingrained. I'm never going to miss my morning coffee, and it's definitely a way to maintain consistency.
Yes, well, I love collagen too, and I've been using Ancient and Brave for a very long time, and I do use it with clients, I use it for myself. I do actually love the cacao blends. I love the collagen one with cacao. Delicious.
Yeah, and what really sets them apart is their sustainability. They're a B Corp as well as a member of the 1% for the Planet. This means donating 1% of all sales to environmental causes that protect the planet, because collective action adds up. So buying their products means you're supporting the planet too. Visit 1percentfortheplanet.org to learn more.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of The Wellness Breakdown. You are going to love this one. Well, most of it, I should think, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that as a nation, we love our bread. I mean, actually, there's pretty much little else that I prefer than like a really lovely fresh baked loaf with butter all over it. But there is an awful lot of crap out there, literally. So in this episode, we're going to dig into the reasons why some loaves are much better than others, and just talk about bread more generally, actually, and modern bread as it is.
See, when you say butter, I think about that more than the bread. Maybe I just like the butter.
Oh, God, Rose, no.
I blame my mother.
I do love butter, though.
This is the funny thing about bread, actually, because it has been around for thousands, not hundreds, thousands of years. So it's thought to originate in the Neolithic period, which was around 8,000 BC. This is when ancient humans switched from hunter-gatherer to agricultural and food production. The interesting thing I thought when we were looking into this was that the Egyptians were the ones who took it to another level and started to use yeast. Yeast is what helps it to rise and to give it that spongy feeling. So yeah, apparently they were also the first people to make beer, which is also, we can thank them for that as well.
Maybe we need to do an episode on beer as well, tastings. No, but I think, yeah, the history of bread is, you know, it's basically millennia, really long. I guess what we're going to be focusing in on now is what's happened to bread in the last acutely 50 years or so. And I genuinely think before we even start talking about bread, we really need to start talking about soil health, because the fact is that our soils are becoming massively degraded at such an alarming rate that it's something like now a third of the world's soils are precariously depleted, arable soils, that is. And lots of this is to do with intensive farming and monoculture, which basically is like farming of one crop over the expense of others. And why that's relevant to bread is that often these monocroppings are to do with wheat, because we have such a demand for bread and its derivative flour. So in that whole modern conventional wheat grown in this intensive monoculture farming method, it's basically from dud soil. So that means that the crops need to be replanted each yield, usually with loads and loads of chemicals. So things like artificial nitrogens, herbicides, pesticides, synthetic fertilizers. And so with all of that kind of intensive, aggressive, seeking higher yields of wheat crops, it's basically like severely degraded the nutritional density, the mineral content, mm-hmm. and also increased the amount of gluten, which is basically a broad term for a lot of the proteins found in wheat, barley, rye, and grains. And some people would, and I would probably be in that camp, would agree that it's that change. So it's the increased amounts of gluten and the bigger kind of particles of gluten, which we'll come on to as well, that have been like contributing to some of the kind of side effects that people now suffer from eating bread. Sorry, that's a real rant about soil health.
No, I totally agree. And also just the industrial nature of farming now, these massive crop, you know, they need the crop to survive, so it gets spread to buggery. And then that's a whole other issue for your microbiome, all those pesticides and crap that go into it.
Exactly.
So we're going to start off really negative. It is going to get better, I promise you.
It will get better, definitely. We're not bread bashers.
No, we're not. So you go from the farming side, how it's grown. You know, those massive seed companies who use killer seeds, so they die. Usually in the old days, or how it should be, is that the seed from that crop is used, or, you know, you can reuse the seed from the crop for the next crop. Now they've managed to engineer seed so that it dies off so that you have to buy more. It's just really screwed up. Anyway, but then you go from the farming, then you go into the processing of it. And that is where I have a beef about it, because, and if we're talking about a white bread, white loaf, they strip everything decent out of it, they bleach it, they add loads of emulsifiers, they add sugar, they add crappy fat, and then there's your loaf of bread. So it's sort of like the whole system of commercial cheap bread. And it is, you know, and I understand that, you know, it's, you know, buying sourdough for £7 or however much it is, it's not doable for lots of people, but there are options where you can improve it a bit. But that's where I think the processing of the grain falls down as well.
Totally. Returning to some of the kind of more ancient grains as well, the ones that haven't been highly processed, because there's a huge resurgence of things like einkorn, and even things like spelt are less processed than just the wheat. So yeah, I agree, because in that demand, what's happening is that the grain is almost like dwarf in its size, like it's not fully grown, and that's where it can impact on those proteins. I think another thing to also highlight is the method of actually making the bread has massively changed. So it was in and around, and I'm really passionate about bread, by the way. I work quite closely with Vanessa Kimball at who's the founder of the Sourdough School. So I can get really geeky on bread, but it was around the end of the 19th century that there was a new kind of process that was developed to increase production to like more of an industrial scale that didn't require fermentation, because typically for millennia, bread was simply made with wheat flour and a raising agent, usually yeast. And then that was kneaded into a dough by hand and then left to ferment for about 8 hours. In sourdough, it's the starter culture that's used, which means an even longer period of fermentation. If you've ever made sourdough, you know, you leave it for like a week or whatever. But it's crucially this process of fermentation that essentially helps to break down and neutralizes some of these proteins, including gluten in the grains. That means it's like pre-digesting the bread for us, basically. So this kind of more rapid method came into production at the end of the 19th century, but it was then around in the early 1960s that they introduced something called the Chorleywood bread process, which is basically broadly the process that's used for most of the supermarket loaves we see on the shelf. And that is very rapid. So there's no time for fermentation. It's basically what they call no time dough. Yeah. And that means that it's missing that crucial fermentation step. So the structure of those breads is going to be very different to the ones that we get for millennia. And in terms of like now, you know, sourdoughs and how sourdoughs are made, because a lot of those proteins will just remain intact, which is can be really troublesome for our gut and our immune system. Mm.
So if you do have issues with bread and gluten and those proteins in particular, then you might find you're all right with sourdough because of what Eve's just explained. So the bacteria do their thing while it's proving. And then when it's cooked, obviously they die off. But
yeah, I think the other thing about the Chorleywood method that's also important to mention, which you touched upon earlier, Rose, is the addition of these chemicals. So some actually have been banned now.
Yeah.
Some of them sound quite tame, like, oh, an emulsifier and a preservative. But that's not in your original recipe for bread. Like if you look at one of the supermarket loaves, you'll see a whole bunch of ingredients, right? And it's like, what are half of those? So this, we're talking now about ultra processed foods, you know, where there's a lot of addition of these, well, extensive treatments and additives to get to this end loaf. So some of these supermarkets are claiming things like, this is where I get really annoyed. Their bread is fresh and baked in store. And like, they kind of allure you in with that, like, you know, waft of baking, but then it's actually not what you smell is not what you get, basically. Mm. They've obviously cottoned onto this artisanal, you know, research of bread making and sourdough, and which is, again, like how we consumed bread for millennia. So now they've got their own versions of sourdough. Mm. And that really grinds on me, because those are not sourdough. Basically, what they've done is taken one of these loaves, these highly processed loaves that we're talking about, and then just stuck a sourdough culture in it and then gone, that's sourdough. And I think that's really confusing for the people going into the supermarkets. They think, oh, well, that's a better bread, so I'm going to buy that one. Or even things like the seeded loaves or the whole grain loaves, that's just got dye in it. Like, it's so much bullshit around bread. And that's what really gets me on my nerves.
It's also that, you know, you have to remember that shelf life for these breads, some of them will last a really scarily long time for something that should not. You know, for a criteria for a loaf of bread, I would look at the ingredients. I should have, as Eve said, wheat, yeast, salt, water. And then it may have seeds if it, you know, is a seeded one, but, or it may have a different flour. It may have a combination of flours. But the minute it starts going into things that you don't understand, then I would step away. But should we talk about why we do love bread?
Well, that's what I mean. I absolutely adore sourdough, and there is nothing, honestly, as far as I'm concerned, better than a really lovely baked, freshly baked sourdough loaf. And probably there's a lot of people listening to this thinking, oh my God, yes. You know, because the fact of the matter is, if you, you know, bread made from good quality wheat flour, you know, it's abundant with fiber, B vitamins, certain minerals like magnesium and zinc. In the case of sourdough, because of the fermentation process, it contains a lot of organic acids that actually help to support the health of our gut microbiome, which are all the bugs that live in our gut. And also sourdough's got like heaps of umami flavour to it. I mean, I could bang on and on about the flavour side of things. So it's not necessarily that bread is bad, but just, you know, there is such a big difference. And also, I guess it's about the load of this stuff. Like if you're having toast in the morning, sandwiches at lunchtime, and then, you know, it's also, there's a difference there, right?
Yes. I always speak quite openly about the fact that I think we eat too many grains, bread in particular. When you're thinking about a really, you know, like a white, really ultra processed loaf of bread, I think about the microbiome and I think about the impact it has on that. And I also think about your glycemic low, you know, your glycemic index and what your blood sugar level does. But I just think that you can get so much more out of a loaf of bread if you buy a slightly better loaf. Plus, can I just say, as I always say with anything, when it's nutrient dense, you don't eat as much of it. So I really like one that's called Seedful. It's not made with wheat, actually. It's made with seeds and some oat flour. But it's only that big and you only need that much because it's so dense. That actually, I mean, it would not be great to make a sandwich with that, it's for sure. It's not bouncy. That's, you know, the gluten in bread does give it that bounce, but it's delicious toast.
I'm sure it is, Rose. I mean,
do you not like it?
I'm quite a traditionalist with this. I'm like, just get really good. I mean, let's be honest, sourdough that you buy from artisanal baker is more expensive, quite significantly, because there is this longer process that happens. But I would say just give it a go, because honestly, once you've bought some flour, I mean, to make your starter culture, and I should be in prison for the amount of starter cultures that I've killed along the way. I mean, Vanessa really gives me a ticking off, and you'll know actually if it goes off, because it starts smelling of like nail polish. It's quite unpleasant. Yes, really. So essentially all you're doing is like, it's like a Tamagotchi. You know, you're just feeding it and it's just sitting there on the side. And, you know, then you take a little bit out and then you might discard some because it will actually grow quite quickly, but not so much in the winter. You might need to stick it in the airing cupboard, but in the summer it will. And then once you've got your flower and you get into a rhythm, actually it's not that hard.
I have to say that, well, I totally agree. And making rose sourdough is really satisfying when it works. When it doesn't, you've wasted 2 days of your world, and it comes out and you're just like, ugh.
But not 2 days, Rose. To clarify, you put it in the oven and then you walk away, or you're not there waiting for 2 hours.
But you do have to feed it every day, and then...
You do. There is that, but that's literally...
And then you have to knead it, and then you have to leave it, and then you have to come back to it, and... Oh, by then I've gone to the...
Rose, I'm trying to encourage people.
Sorry. It is, honestly, it's the most satisfying thing to do. I got a few dodgy loaves and I was so upset because I was just like, I've given you so much love.
No, it does feel like it's, unfair when you do get a dud loaf. But, you know, actually, and it's not, I'm not here to promote Vanessa's business per se, but she does have a very good book called The 10-Minute Sourdough. Basically, it's just 10 minutes on time to make the loaf. And, you know, don't give up at the first hurdle. I know Rose Ferguson clearly is over the whole making sourdough thing. But do give it a good attempt. But you're right, you know, I mean, we're talking about sourdough here, but you could be buying other grains, like some of the ancient grains, or gluten-free grains, like buckwheat is really nice, actually, if you make a bread with buckwheat. So you can, like, make different ones.
I actually am inspired now. After this, I'm going to go and get my bread machine out. But you are right about sourdough. I am actually inspired. I think if you were in a rhythm, it would be fine. And as you say, you just get into the habit of it and you have a fresh one every day, I guess.
Yeah. And I do think it's worth touching upon why people might react to this. Yeah. Because I don't know about you, but it's one of the main ones, food groups that I hear about in my practice, where people go, I just can't eat bread anymore. And we talked a bit about how, you know, some of these proteins might be hard for us to digest. There is also, and this is actually stats are showing, there is an increase in things like celiac disease. It's an autoimmune condition related to gluten and wheat. So that means that you must never go near them. People can have allergies to wheat and gluten, but that celiac is something different. That's where the immune system starts attacking itself in exposure to some of those proteins. And I do think a lot of it is to do with a lot of this processing that's happening. What's your thoughts, Rose?
So if someone comes in to me and says that and they're not celiac, on a broader picture, they're like, I don't eat gluten and I feel better. And, you know, I always say, well, you feel better because you cut out a whole world of potentially crappy foods like cakes and, you know, sausages. You know, gluten's in lots of things. But what I always do is I work on the gut, because actually, in theory, you should be okay with digesting it unless you are celiac. But I think, as you said, you know, it's not just from bread that's causing an upset to our gut and our ability of the gut to break things down and proteins. It is from all sorts of things. It could be from what you wash your sheets with. It's from what you wash your face with. It's what's in your water. It's stress. There are so many things that reduce the integrity of our gut.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think, you know, when we're talking about gut health, it's never one factorial. Like, I know people want to blame bread or blame a particular food group.
Yeah, I think you have to look upstream, don't you? It's a symptom that something's not right rather than the cause.
Although, like I said, if you are consuming some of these highly processed breads, it might be actually one of the major triggering factors.
Yeah. I tell you what I do think is really good, which I talk to clients about, and you mentioned it, is buckwheat. So buckwheat actually isn't a grain, it's a seed, and it's nothing to do with wheat. So the whole name is thoroughly confusing, but it's quite a nice one. But again, it's very dense. And I suppose the problem is, thinking about sandwiches, what can you do to get a bread that works with a sandwich that you can take to work or to school that is not like a little brick?
I mean, yeah, like you can mix and match some flour. So buckwheat, it is quite a dense flour. So I've often found if you mix it with another flour, then that can sort of make it less kind of dense, as it were. But yeah, like just doing a bit of, I guess, again, like looking around some of these other ancient grains as well. So you could mix it with a bit of like rye or spelt or whatever. It is quite challenging, I find, to find decent bread in the supermarket that you can just buy off the shelf. It really is. So you do need to be looking at the backs of the packet, not to be like obsessed about that stuff. Obviously, we don't want people to be like getting stressed about buying bread. But if it's got a whole bunch of these emulsifiers and preservatives and things like that, just park it and just find something else. I mean, try again. I know I feel like I'm trying to convert people to make sourdough, but do you know the other reason why I'm a really big fan of trying to make it is that it's about reconnecting us with that our soil and where our food is grown from, because the thing is, you visibly see what happens in the soil and your gut every day when you're looking at a starter culture. I don't know, there's something for me about that kind of that connection as well with it. So, you know, above and beyond the fact that it does, once you get into the rhythm and you master it, and I'm sure Rose will, and in a few episodes time she'll be like, oh my god, I'm making the most amazing sourdough.
I'm very suggestible, you know me, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll try that again then.
But you know what I mean, like there is that kind of like connection, and you know, there's a lot of kind of like emotive things around bread, you know, like the smell of home. And when you're trying to sell a house, actually people typically put bread in the oven. And, you know, there's that kind of like baking is very much synonymous with that, you know, that kind of love and all of that stuff. So I do think there's something there on a kind of like, I don't know, like emotional, psychological connection as well. So,
But I think the thing is, lots of people are scared about bread. And as you say, a lot of people that we see in clinic cut it out. And I don't think that's necessary. I just think it's about finding, you know, just as you said, buy better, buy less. And yeah, because it is, there is something really nice about breaking bread, isn't it? It goes back to the Bible, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's such a nice note to end on. So should we maybe dig into some emails?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, hi guys, I've just listened to the Plant Milk Meat podcast. I became vegetarian a while back, but I've never been a good cook. I tend to buy veggie burgers, fake meats, and then pop a little salad on there. I've never really looked at the ingredients, I'm ashamed to say. Not sure I can suddenly become a great cook, but maybe I'll try some of your recipes. Thanks for making me aware, Claire. Well, that's good, actually. I mean, I think it's quite shocking for a lot of people, actually, when they start to really dig into this stuff. And I think this whole conversation around ultra-processed foods generally is highlighting that a bit more. Because, you know, plant-based or, you know, vegan versions of some of these milks and meats, when they're done using things like legumes and, you know, all that sort of stuff, can be super, super healthy. So, yeah.
Yeah, when you learn to cook, or when you start cooking, keep it really simple and you'll be amazed. What's brilliant about recipes, if you find a cookbook that you like, just keep ploughing on, because you'll be amazed. It's so satisfying when it's done. So just try, I don't know, think of it like it's good for community vibe. It's a nice little hobby. You know, it's a good thing to do when you're trying to relax, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And chili always makes things better anyway.
Yes.
If in doubt, stick chili in.
Yeah, I just use I'm onion, garlic and cumin in everything pretty much. Okay, there's another one here. Hi, Eve and Rose. Loving your episode on perimenopause. I wasn't sure if I was in it or not. It was great to hear you talking about your experience, Rose, and how inconsistent the symptoms are for you, as it's the same for me. Also, it's funny when you said we'll be postmenopause for half our life. It really turned a switch on in me. Yeah, half our lives. I think it's quite something, isn't it? It's a really good thing too, because you're like, life is not over. We are halfway through.
Absolutely. No, I think that for me, that was a really game-changing statement that you made, definitely. So, it makes you rethink the whole experience, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I think it's sort of more of a, I'm not, you know, just going to put my slippers on and sit down now. I've got half my life to do other things.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, look, I think that was a great episode. I'm sure we've, like, triggered quite a few things in people with regards to bread and, you know, are you going to be now newly converted sourdough makers? We hope so. But yeah, if you want to follow the show, click on the plus sign, also on YouTube at the Wellness Breakdown Pod if you want to see us, and you can email us at info@thewellnessbreakdown.co.uk or message us on our Instagram.
See you next week.
See you next week.